Rusty Quill Presents Chapter and Multiverse.
Thank heavens you're here. I have more to tell you about Adib, Minnie, Joseph and Morgan. Things are really heating up for them, you know. Last time we spoke, I told you about their questioning of Poltergeist, who revealed that Wilt, an important figure from Morgan's past, was planning to interfere with time and space somehow. I must admit, that kind of thing always makes me very nervous. But right now, our heroes are in a cafe. Sadly, not my cafe. Preparing for their climactic confrontation with Wilt.
Hello and welcome to Chapter and Multiverse, the actual play podcast where we explore the same city across multiple parallel universes. I am your game master, Maddie Searle. My pronouns are she, her, and today we are playing the penultimate game of our campaign of Masks, A New Generation, which is designed by Brendan Conway and allows our players to take on the role of young superheroes. But before we go any further, I must introduce our wonderful and talented players. Could you please let me know your name and pronouns and your character's name and pronouns, starting with Pip?
Hi there. I'm Pip Gladwin, and I will be playing Joseph Teller, formerly Zenith, protege of the maybe quite questionable superhero Aquila. We don't know. We'll find out. And our pronouns are he and him. And we'd just love to hug in a cafe.
Yeah. And Lydia.
I'm Lydia Nicholas. My pronouns are she, they. And I am playing Minnie Smithson, who is currently really genuinely loving a hug in a cafe. Pronouns
yeah. She. Excellent. And Lowry.
Hello, I am Lowry Ann Davis, and I am playing Blade with Morgan, aka Siphon, who is so glad you got back in time for the hug in the cafe.
Yeah. And Ahmed.
Hello, I'm Ahmed Al-Jabri, and apparently I'm playing Adib, who is being dragged into a hug because he was too distracted on his phone. Adib's pronouns are he and him.
Beautiful. Okay, so last we left off, Poltergeist had told you that UTBC's plan was to create as much chaos as possible so that they could capitalize off the news and the ad revenue generated thusly. And you also discovered that Wilt, who is a fixture of Morgan's past, is involved in planning something big involving space and time. So you went to aforementioned cafe to chat things through, and Morgan briefly went to talk to Owain, her uncle, about her parents.
Because Morgan has fast travel now.
Yes. So now you have all come back together for a lovely hug in the cafe, as everyone has mentioned, and it is time to get down to business.
Mm. Or we could hug more.
Yeah,
that's true. We could just ignore it and just hug for the next two episodes.
My thing that I'm going to add before we get into the action is that I called upon my sanctuary, which means I have to pay some kind of price. And I, if with your permission, Maddie, would like to make it a doom point since I feel like that's relevant.
Yeah, that seems appropriate.
Are you getting very doomed?
Yeah.
I'm now 3 into my second doom track. I mean, my doom doesn't hit until 5, but since there are only 2 episodes left, we could just make it when I hit the 3rd.
Stack that doom.
I'm planning on using my powers a lot more, so they will. Anyway.
You've got to be around for season 2.
Yes, season 2.
Unconfirmed.
Look, the campaign starts here and may end here.
Also ends.
Yeah. It starts here.
Okay, Joseph will, after what he deems to be an appropriate amount of time, extricate himself from the hug. Mm. Like, not...
Yeah,
you know,
it's not mean.
There's a part of him that wants to stay in the hug, but there's things to do. Is gonna extricate himself. Did you find anything out, Morgan?
Well, I don't know how useful it is, just a bit scarier, really. Wilt, I did kind of know this, has been obsessed with finishing my parents' project, which was apparently they want to bust a hole into a new universe.
Wait.
And end this
wait,
one
hold
because
on.
Everything's...
Minnie, do you have the Taj tablet?
Yes.
Call them. They should hear this.
Okay. Calls Vera. Does Vera pick up?
I think at this point Vera does not pick up.
I don't like Vera.
No, Vera is rubbish. Vera may... I think the big bad is Vera.
Yeah, I'm scared that it is.
None of this makes sense.
She's just overworked.
They did answer their phone. They must be evil.
It must be evil.
How often do you answer your phone when people call
Meanwhile,
you?
On the news behind you in this cafe, explosions are happening. Like, you hear the echo of an explosion further across the city.
Oh, actually.
Yeah.
Sorry, in relation to what? Just to, what? Real quick.
Just in terms of another villain activity is happening.
Okay, it's starting to kick off now. Okay.
Yeah.
I cut you off there, Larry, and then it didn't
go.
It didn't go anywhere. So I guess Joseph's well, just kind of like, I'm sorry, please finish your story.
No, that was a good idea. I mean, I don't know how much more there is. They wanted to open the universe into another universe. I mean, they just had terrible, terrible plans to end our reality. And Wilt wants to continue that and has been working to do that, apparently, is my understanding. And I have to stop her because she is so powerful, but maybe the connection to my parents can help. I don't know.
Okay, coming from a society where many people can manipulate matter and some have ascended to the point that they can work with time and space, I can confirm that doing that is a very bad idea.
Do we have an address?
No, but...
We have an area of the city, but not an address. Yeah.
You may have noticed that I've picked up some new powers. I don't really know what's going on. I'm a bit afraid because, like...
Can you move us like that?
I've never tried. Can Morgan do that?
Well, if you do an Unleash Your Powers roll, he could find out.
Ah, yeah. Okay, well, we don't know where we're going yet. So do we want to try now?
How about you try portaling us outside the coffee shop?
Okay.
Are you getting a doom point every time you do this?
I do get a doom point every time I do this.
Oh, okay, I didn't
Which,
know.
Which, actually, I say, bring on.
You didn't tell us that. We have no idea about that.
Yeah, so. Okay. But hang on, just before we do this, I think there's something else important that I need to say that just sounds very dramatic, but I'm just going to say it. Owain had a prophecy that I would follow in my parents' footsteps, and it seems like these powers are coming, and my mum... could portal, like that's something she could do. That's something I have now got, and I just don't want to become a villain.
Okay, but if we go after this Wilt person without you, then we're not gonna beat them. We're not gonna be able to do this.
No, well, you're not doing that. I won't let you.
So we go with you.
Could it be interpreted in a good way?
Yeah.
Like you're gonna get their powers, but you're not gonna turn villain.
I mean, I've thought about it for years. There are lots of ways it could be interpreted, but. I don't know.
How far away from where we are right now is the district where we know this is going down?
About 20 minutes walk away.
20 minutes walk away.
Or a cool portal.
Or a cool portal. Or I just steal a car.
Does Zenith say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Morgan would be like, look, I mean, I would like to, it would be nice to know if I could carry you all, but what if something happens to you? What if I take your energy when I carry you and you all get there and you're unconscious and I just have three unconscious people? So maybe a car would be best.
Or it's a nice walk.
I'm going to break a window with my elbow and hotwire a car outside in full view of the person running this cafe.
I think the person running this cafe is used to kind of late night superhero shenanigans, so it's just like, ugh, not again. Gonna have to talk to the police in the morning.
Like, there's a whole insurance thing. Where you like, yeah, it's quite high premiums to get, like, in case of superhero incident, but everyone has to get it because otherwise, like, you can be covered for everything, but then someone with freaking super speed just dashes through and it burns the air and destroys all of your stuff.
Well, I think, like, also from Joseph's point of view, as he's done it, there's a moment of like, well, it doesn't matter, we'll just buy them a new. Oh, wait.
No.
I don't. own anything.
You've got a car now.
I have no money or public identity. I don't have a national insurance number, guys. I don't exist.
So begins our descent into villain group.
Absolutely. I'm a bad guy now. I guess I am. I just stole a car. I will drive us at extremely unsafe speeds to the location of Will, or at least the approximate location.
Okay. Minnie, can you just text Vera on the tab that we did this and maybe they can figure out something to cover this? You know,
sure.
We're not getting paid, so they might as well cover this.
No, we stole one of the random Taj cars that are just littered across the city, as we have established before.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
We know because they have the logo on the side.
Yes.
Yeah, I try and break its bulletproof glass with my elbow and just break my arm.
Yeah. Maybe you try and do that and Minnie at the last second makes your elbow super dense.
You can do that to other people?
Oh, no, I don't think I can.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, you can manipulate living matter? Oh, boy.
Only me.
Okay. We're a car, we drive. Do drive in the car.
You see me rolling.
I'm excited.
Choo-choo.
My sentence structure is collapsing. Go place in car and do game.
Okay, you speed off into the night through the city streets of Chapter into the industrial district. You zoom past the Clear Vision Trading building that you saw just a couple of days ago. Everything has happened so fast. And as you are starting to crawl a bit more slowly through the streets, looking for any signs of Wilt's possible lair, please make me assess the situation rolls to see if you can find where it is.
7.
Ooh. 9.
8.
Nice.
8.
All successes. So yeah, and I think Minnie was the one who got rolled the highest, so I will say, yeah, Minnie, what do you think you do to discover the location?
It's dark. Remembering, we are in the middle of the night and it is relatively, I'm going to assume, in an industrial district, quiet. Perhaps there is the vague sound of some machining, but I'm guessing it would be quite hard to place. So Minnie's just going to kind of stand there, put fingers on her temples in that kind of way that signals in superhero films that someone is using their mind. And is going to do a vague telepathy, like, as we sort of established, she's much more of a can feel the vague shape of where there are people and what they're feeling, rather than a I can read the words of thoughts in your brain kind of telepathy. So that's what she's gonna warm. Where can I feel villains?
Yes, as you are driving slowly through the streets of this district, you get a ping in your telepathic field. And
That's how it works, like a radar.
Metaphorically speaking. And you can feel just an intense sense of excitement and the feeling of a project just almost being finished, just being so close.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait, everyone, I can feel either. Somebody is just about to finish a very exciting Lego project. Or end the world. And they're about... Minnie does the, like, fingers to the temples, then, like, wobbles the hands around and then points wherever the sense comes from. They're over there.
What do we see in the direction that Minnie is pointing?
Yes, you can see a disused factory with moss growing and cracks in the concrete, and rusty metal railings. And if you peer inside, you can see just a pair of yellow lights just sort of moving from left to right very slowly.
Either someone has two separate eyes on stalks, which I haven't encountered on this planet, or two people with torches.
We don't have a lot of time.
Should I go with the torch theory?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Minnie. Well, someone's over there.
Okay, shall we...
Big entrance?
Attack! Wait, do we have a plan?
Before anyone moves, I'm like, don't, whatever you do, do not let her touch you.
Yeah.
That is the most important thing.
Okay.
Same goes for you. Okay. Is there like a... What kind of doors/windows situation are we looking at for this building?
The door is a big kind of set of metal double doors with a... chain and a padlock on it. There is glass in the windows, but it's shattered and it's kind of in jagged, horrible shapes.
Big entrance?
Stealth might be wise.
I could try to remove the glass and just or open the window with my ribbons.
I can... Look, there's not very much light around, so I can probably just control what they can see from the torchlight. So I can't control sound, so yeah. We'd have to be quiet.
All right.
Okay.
Let's go. Carefully through a window whilst, I guess, being masked by Minnie.
I'll remove the glass carefully with my ribbons just so we can sneak in without anybody getting hurt.
Nice.
I mean, until the people turn up with their torches, whatever it is, like... It's not like Minnie's deploying powers right now. It's just that if the light... We will always be in shadow.
Mm.
Okay, so we're going stealthy.
You go in stealthy.
Sneak, sneak.
I'm just going to say that that happens and you creep your way into this dark and dank abandoned factory. And you can see now from your vantage point behind some crates that... There is a robotic dog pacing back and forth over the top of a trapdoor.
And here's the doors. The cute.
Well, this is where it ends, isn't it? Because we can't hurt a dog.
Yeah.
But it's a robot.
This is perfect for me.
I was going to say, I was like, I'll hurt a dog. I have no compassion.
You do. You're good inside.
I'll hurt a robot dog.
I'll hurt a robot dog.
I want to keep that dog. This is perfect. I am going to stealthily sneak up on it and just wrap my ribbons around it until it's like tied down properly. So what do I need to roll? Is it engage or leash?
Can we assess this? Because I feel like this is going to have some kind of camera on it.
Look, yeah. Look, if Adib wants robot dog, Adib acts to get robot dog.
I always wanted a dog, but because we can't have dogs at home, a robot dog is the perfect answer. I want to catch it and I want to keep it.
Zenith, you're good at stuff like this. Actually, I think Adib, you are too. But is there... am I not right in thinking there might be a camera? Can you see any kind of... What is the purpose of this dog?
Probably a guard, but I will be mindful of surroundings, assess situation before entering into a fight. I'm going to do
that. Yes,
you can
perfect.
Keep it if we catch it, Adib.
I'm rolling badly today. 3, 1... No, that's only a 6.
Oh, poop.
Yeah, it's very dark. And you can only really see the kind of yellow glow of the eyes of this
squinting,
robot dog.
Squinting with my complete lack of night vision.
Damn it. Again, I can imagine you like focusing on a dark spot,
damn
expecting it to light
oh,
up.
Oh, no. Oh, why did you throw the helmet? Well, you had to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at this point, as you are poised, trying to determine what you are going to do with this robot dog, we are going to take a short break and be right back. And welcome back. So you are poised in your hiding place behind some crates, peering at this robot dog with its yellow eyes, glaring about, pacing back and forth over this trapdoor.
Zenith, can you hack it? Or, sorry, should we stop calling you Zenith? Should we stick with Joseph? Or should we give you a new name? Because we never established that.
I don't know. We can talk about this later.
All right, leader.
Actually, maybe not. I don't know if...
What?
Could we be a democracy, maybe, for now?
Yeah, I'm not trying to lead anything. And I'll bring up that little wrist computer thing that I took. Is this something I can do?
Yeah.
Can I try and remotely hack it?
You can, for sure.
What would you like me to roll to do that?
I would suggest unleash your powers.
Yeah, I figured. Unleash your lack of powers.
Unleash your coding boot camp skills.
All right. It says reshape your environment as one of the sort of powers things. Basically, what I'm trying to do is just make this thing friendly.
Yeah.
That's it.
Reshape to body.
Come on. Better dice rolls than the other ones today. Let's go.
This is the most important dice roll we've ever had.
This is the most important dice roll I have ever had. And I've rolled a lot of dice. All right, here we go. Okay, it's a success.
Ooh.
It's not a high success, but it's a 7. Ooh.
Okay, so I think you can make this dog friendly for an hour.
Mm.
Okay.
So we'll fall in love with it and then it will betray us?
No, I think
probably automatically reboot after 1 hour.
So hacked dog friendly. While I'm hacking it, do I discern that it has like cameras that it's using? Is it feeding like audio or visuals somewhere else?
Yes, you can absolutely see that it is doubling as a guard dog and a surveillance device.
Cool. In making it friendly, am I also cutting that connection?
You can, yes, absolutely. You can cut off its connection to... you can also see in its coding that it is part of a pack.
Oh, friends!
And so if you had tried to engage it, it would have set off an alarm to call its fellow packmates to help it.
Amazing.
We could have had more friends!
That would have been a massacre.
I think the last thing I'll do is... Joseph bends down, picks up like a, you know, like a metal bit of rebar, like a bent sort of metal bar, and I'll like, hey buddy, hey, and I'll get the dog's attention with it, and then I'll turn towards the window and just fling it as hard as I can out the window and go, fetch.
And the dog has these exaggerated, like triangular shaped jagged metal teeth, and it just contorts them into this big doggish grin and makes a sort of metallic panting noise and leaps out of the window after this metal stick and it can no longer be seen.
Well done.
Great. Should we go down? Is this trapdoor locked?
I mean, do we get to keep the dog?
No, it's only an hour. It'll probably return to its post.
Okay, so we get out of here within an hour. I can probably do a longer term hack or I can take it... Don't worry, Adib will get you that door.
Thank you.
Shall I open the door, the trap door?
I don't see another way in. And as Joseph says that, he kind of looks around for vents. Where are the vents?
Yeah.
Are there vents in here? It's been so long since I was in a vent.
So as you are inspecting this trapdoor, you can see that it is very heavy, it's very large. It would not be a problem for someone like Morgan to rip this open, though, if she had enough energy. But there's also a fingerprint device attached to it, which would allow someone with the correct fingerprint or DNA to get in.
Oh, no. Morgan has a sinking feeling and puts her thumb on the fingerprint pad.
Yep. Bing! Green light goes on. The trapdoor starts to open.
Have you been here before?
I think maybe Wilt wants me.
We don't have a choice.
Okay.
I'll hop down the ladder and go first. We gotta go. We gotta move. The longer we spend, the more likely.
I'll glide down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Morgan comes. Yeah. We've only got an hour till the dog
exactly.
comes back. So.
You know, the dog is our main worry here.
Ticking clock, folks.
Yeah, not the incredibly powerful supervillain who's planning to manipulate
space
and time.
A penny.
I hop down, and then how's the lighting situation down here?
It is dingy, but there are spotlights kind of dotted about all over the place on different workstations with piles of wires and devices and mechanical equipment and tools. It is a very chaotic kind of workshop/laboratory situation down here. And you can also see in the back of the room there is some kind of shrine set up with pictures of people that Morgan would recognize. It is your parents, pictures of your parents. There are children's toys kind of scattered at the foot of the shrine, which you might be able to discern are probably gifts that they gave Wilt when she was younger. And there are also your parents' old supervillain costumes folded up neatly and placed on the shrine.
We hear anything? Is there a sound of machinery, a sound of anything happening?
In another room, you can hear the sound of like metal scraping on metal and sparks going off as some kind of welding or metal work is happening.
I guess let's assess some more and have a little look.
Yeah.
Morgan will obviously be a bit taken aback at the shrine. And would anyone recognize my parents? Because they were... I mean, Joseph might.
Right.
Though I guess, is that an area of her life that Aquila tried to hide from him? So maybe not. Because they were public, right?
Yeah. I think that Joseph would probably recognize the costumes and have heard of Expanse and Epoch, the supervillains, but just Aquila probably hid the fate of them.
Yeah, there were some supervillains with these names back in the day. This is what they could do. They died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be the extent of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Morgan isn't going to say that those are her parents, but I think maybe you can guess.
Context, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it feels quite likely.
So did you say the work's going on through another door?
Yes, you can see that there is a metal door with a kind of a small porthole in it.
Maddie, I'd like to ask, all of these tables and stuff where there's lots of like bits of machinery and all kinds of things going on, do I see anything here that I think I could use?
I think if you do me an assess the situation roll, we can find out.
I do have that one ability about picking up random bits of new gear.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've used it, I think, once. So let's see if there's anything useful. Some kind of gadget, some sort of device. It's a 7. It is a 7. 6,
hey.
7.
Nice.
Standard.
Yeah, I think this room is very disorganized. It is very chaotic. It is hard to see any kind of pattern in the way that things are laid out. It seems like Wilt presumably was making things and then got bored and just threw it to one side and started making something else. But you do manage to find among some of the kind of half-finished projects a functioning grappling hook that you can send shooting out.
Like a launcher rather than a rope that I would throw.
Yes, a sort of a mechanical grappling hook.
Nice. I'll kind of pick that up and I won't test it because it's probably loud. I'll pick that up and stow that in my...
What, in the thoughtful grappling hook pouch that Adib made for you?
Stow that in my non-copyright infringing utility belt.
Yeah.
One step closer, guys. I'm wearing a domino mask and I have a grappling hook gun. All I need now is to tear away my trousers to reveal my tiny green pants, and my transformation will be complete.
It's the thing you never understood, why all the clothes available to you were grey, except...
Is that my tiny green pants? I'm sorry, canon, Joseph's been wearing tiny green pants this whole time.
Right.
So as you are peering around cautiously, you hear a metallic thunk and a delighted giggle from the next room.
Minnie, who still had her kind of telepathy field open, turns to the others and says, I'm sensing delight.
Oh no. Okay.
Should we knock first?
I love a deep.
Before you can make that decision, a woman bursts out from the back room, clutching a large gun-like apparatus, which has all sorts of complex pipes and bits of machinery integrated into it. And she is wearing a blood-red skin-tight suit, and she has these metallic gloves over her hands. And as soon as she sees you, she presses a button on her wrist and the tips of her fingers are exposed in the gloves.
Minnie, like, before taking other serious things into consideration, looking at that outfit just whispers.
I mean, fashion icon. This woman has short cropped blonde hair in a bob and steely grey eyes.
Morgan will say, don't touch her. And she's been carrying, she hasn't used it yet, but she's been carrying her staff, which I assume is good enough from Taj that, like, you press a button and it's like, and extends it out.
Yeah.
And I would like to remind listeners, because I had forgotten, it also delivers a knockout sting, right?
Yeah, it's a taser stick.
And she practiced for one day with Zenith, so.
You did. Yeah. You did. And I'm a very good teacher, probably, maybe.
Yeah, that's probably your calling.
Yeah, and I think as you extend your weapon and Wilt turns her gaze upon you, she says, sister.
Morgan's, she's going to directly engage a threat. She's going to attack her immediately.
Perfect.
Should we count our team?
Yes, we got we're entering into a combat with a dangerous foe, I'm guessing.
And very well dressed
and
foe.
And we're so ready, we're prepared. We're all very prepared for this. We're not unprepared.
Yeah.
We are. Yes.
And all of our aims are aligned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we trust each other now.
We do, implicitly.
We do. Mm. We've been broken down and we've come back together in the last 48 hours several times.
You folks are the best friends I've had this week.
Yeah. I think, looking at the team mechanics, I think you have at least 3 team in the pool.
Nice. Who is the leader?
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
I would say at the moment, Morgan is definitely the leader at this point, because...
Emotionally,
yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah, it's like Adib was kind of the leader when we were dealing with Poltergeist. Yeah. We were being, like, obviously things went a bit out of hand, but we were definitely being
led. We were deferring.
That's the
word. I think that makes sense.
Fantastic. So going into this battle, your purposes are aligned, and you are prepared this time, so you have three team in your pool to use as you want to give plus one to your fellow teammates at any point. And so, yeah, please give me that roll, Lurie, of directly engage a threat.
Come on, Morgan.
And I will let you know straight up that Wilt will need to have five conditions inflicted on her to be defeated.
And do they all have to be different? I think that's the rule, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait. I just got it. Wilt, like her power, not Wilt, like it's short for Wilfred, or Wilf, like in Angel, and right.
Is
cool.
that what Minnie says?
Yeah, okay, you know, Minnie literally does, like, oh, I realize, oh, like her power, right, like Wilt, I thought Wilt was like a way of saying Wilfred, or Winnie, or... Oh, I get it. I know it. All right, cool.
So I just rolled a 10.
Yo.
Nice.
Because I am three dangerous.
Amazing.
And I rolled 7.
Three fast, three dangerous. Sorry. As said that.
I enjoyed it. So well done. Thank you. As Minnie's having that revelation, Morgan says, "You're not my sister," and is holding the staff like a javelin, because as we've established, she's not particularly trained, because she wants to taser her in the forehead, is what she's aiming.
Wow.
She wants to knock her out.
Fantastic. So you can pick two of the benefits from directly engage a threat.
You're going to want the one where you don't get touched.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am
and
going...
She has a massive gun thing in her
yeah.
hand as well.
I think... Either impress or surprise her. So I want to inflict a condition on her immediately. Because mm-hmm. I probably don't frighten her.
Yeah.
So maybe surprise her.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
And, I mean, I want to take the gun from her, but I don't think I did anything that really would do that. So I could create an opportunity for my allies.
That sounds good to me.
Yep.
Wilt is going to take a condition, and I would like to ask Morgan if there's any particular condition you're aiming to give her.
Ooh.
I would like to make a pitch for insecure.
Mm. I was going to say insecure, because maybe she thought that, probably thought I'd maybe that I'd be alone, or that I'd be not able to javelin her in the forehead with a taser. But here we are.
Yeah, I think she wasn't naive enough to think that you would instantly like come running into her arms, but I think she thought you might be a bit more receptive to her than this. And
all right.
Yeah, I think she is surprised that this is your first greeting of someone who is in her mind like so important to your history. And yeah, she gets a massive zap on her forehead from the taser. It's not quite enough to knock her out, but she is slightly dazed, and she looks at you and is like, is that any way to greet family? And she is going to take the condition move, double down on broken plans or ideas, and she is going to raise the gun-like device and shoot it into an empty space in the room, and a portal appears, a glimmering neon green portal, and out of it appears a horrific alien monster.
One of those horrific aliens.
Just one of those horrific alien monsters.
Not the really cute kind.
So, Minnie, you would recognize this as not something from your planet, but from something from your solar system that your boss, Benson McDykel, knows intimately, because he used to be a wildlife correspondent on the planet Gravelax 6. And you know that on the planet that these creatures are from, the cities are sealed because the wildlife is so dangerous. And you can kind of see in the background of the portal that, because this is a parallel universe, that things are slightly different wherever this creature is from. You can see, like, the ruins of a city behind it. And you know that this planet currently, in your universe, is fine, and the cities are standing.
Sorry, can I ask what this thing looks like?
Yes, I was, yeah.
We've established, Pip, it's horrifying.
Yes.
Oh, is this Lovecraftian horror? You're not going to describe it. I'm just looking at it and going, ah!
I've got a list. So you know that this monster is called the Ravening.
Jim the Ravening.
Jim the Ravening. This creature has several eyes and a ring around its head, so it can see from any direction. Has six muscular limbs with a singular 6-inch curved claw at the end of each of them. And so it makes a horrible clatter as it jumps out of this portal into the room. It has a protruding trunk-like nose which kind of moves, sensing the air. And is covered in fine, wiry hair and has these jagged teeth that overlap in horrible, impossible ways. And so, I think at this point, as this monster is bearing down upon you, it is time to end the episode there.
No!
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 Thank you so much for listening to Chapter and Multiverse, and we'll be back for the finale next week. But as always, I would like to ask our fantastic players where we can find them on the internet if they have anything to plug, starting with Lydia.
Oh, it's me. I'm Lydia. You can find me on Twitter at LydNicholas. You can find my chickens at Urban Chooks. And have a lovely time zone wherever you are.
Excellent. And Pip?
Hello. You can find me at pip_Gladwin on Twitter, and that's where you'll find whatever it is that I'm doing at the time. Whatever that might be, it might be good, it might be very bad, but crucially, I'll be in it. So if that is something that interests you in any way, then that's where you should head to find out about that. And that, my friends, is how you do an outro.
There was a point in that I was like, oh, nailed it, and then you kept talking. No, it was beautiful.
And Ahmed.
Hello, I'm Ahmed Al-Jabri, and you can find me right here waiting for the next session to start because I am too anxious for that. But otherwise, you'll find me on Twitter at Mr. Al-Jabri.
Fantastic. And Lowry.
You can find me at Lowry Tweets and in other podcasts.
Yeah. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Maddie_abstract, where you can find various links to all the things that I do. And we hope to see you next time on Chapter and Multiverse. But until then, from all of us here in the space between worlds, facing down an alien, goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye. Oh, God, why?
Chapter and Multiverse is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Sharealike 4.0 International license. It is directed by Maddie Searle and produced by M. Lindemann, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell and April Sumner. The Eternal Tavern Keeper was played by Kareem Cronfley. This episode was edited by Lorianne Davis, Tessa Vroom, and Maddie Searle, with music by Nico Vertese. Thank you for listening.